Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah? Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, from every single small part or big part of the universe, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, or
globally minded
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to us while you're riding the bus, stuck in traffic, waiting in line at the bank, helping an old woman cross the street, or even
reading the news.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio by the man who can unscramble an egg, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, that's true, I can unscramble an egg. What does scramble mean, Ethan?
So if you scramble eggs, usually you use a fork or something like that to mix up the eggs until it becomes a pretty consistent form, and then you cook them, and it's a way to eat eggs that's quite popular, at least in the United States. So what would it mean if you were to unscramble an egg?
So unscramble an egg is go backwards and take a very mixed up egg and make it into a whole egg again, right?
Yeah, which I've never seen anyone do, but apparently you're the man who can get it done.
I can go back in time, that's it. Have you seen those videos where they record, like, for example, scrambling an egg, and then they record it backwards, so the video goes backwards?
But we'll have to put that in the show notes. Is it someone going backwards, or is it just you unscrambling an egg?
Well, it looks like it's just going backwards, but it's really me unscrambling an egg.
Oh yeah. So we are done with the Real Life Way, as many of you probably know if you have been following us for the last 6 episodes, and this is episode 157. If you have not listened to those 6 episodes, then I would highly recommend it. It is going to be a great way to add some motivation and some extra oomph to your English learning.
What do you mean by oomph?
Oomph means that it's like an accelerator, so it gives you an extra push that you need. So I definitely believe if you're wanting to take your English to the next level with the few months that you have left in 2017, that is a great way for you to get started. But today we are actually going to be turning the podcast to some current events. As many of you may know, I live in Barcelona right now, in Barcelona, Spain, where last week, unfortunately, there was a very tragic event. There was a terrorist attack here in a very touristic part of the city. If you have not heard about this, then if you do a Google search, I'm sure you will find many, many headlines all across the web. But we kind of wanted to take a different spin on this, just looking at what actually kind of happened here from the perspective of someone that lives here and is, you know, surrounded by the people that were affected by this event. And then just using it kind of as a lens to look at, in general, some misconceptions that people tend to get when they're on the outside of an event by basically through what the media, like news stations, newspapers, news channels on the television portray to us. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. But first, we're going to give a couple amazing shout outs to our wonderful, large hearted audience. So I'll turn over to J-Man for this.
Oh, yeah. So I couldn't agree more about this stuff. Hopefully this podcast, something we can apply to all of life, because it's all about focusing on the positive in the world and recognizing the good stuff that's happening, just like in Barcelona, as Ethan can offer that perspective. But one thing, I was really impressed by the reaction of the Fluency Circle community. The Fluency Circle community is our community of students, people who study with us through our courses, like the Fluent with Friends course or the Real Life Radio Power Learning course. And it was an amazing reaction. People from all around the world. We have 150 people in the group, and they're from all over the world, the four corners of the planet. And it was such an amazing response that, and conversation going on, because it's kind of a traumatic event. It's really difficult when something like that happens. And just to see everybody comforting each other, to see everybody just dealing with this together as a global community. And that was really, really inspiring for me. But one person I wanted to give a shout out to today is one of the leaders of this community. And this is Christina Serafin from São Paulo, Brazil. She is not only an amazing English speaker, but she's an exemplary global citizen. She's always participating and offering her perspective and really expanding her perspective on things. But she summed it up really well in her response, at least one of her responses. She says, "My dear friends, our world is filled with more good than evil. Do the math. How many terrorists are there? How many people are willing to help? I always tell myself that I should not judge the world by some crazy people who get to broadcast all over all the time. Besides, I do know plenty of anonymous people making a difference in their own lives and in others. They inspire me just like those wonderful, sympathetic people in Barcelona." Oh yeah, Christina. Very inspiring message, and definitely aligned with the message of this podcast today.
Oh yeah, I think that definitely deserved another oh yeah. So Christina, thank you so much for shining a positive light in the world and just being, like Justin said, a very exemplary global citizen. The world could use more people like you, and I'm very honored to get to be in contact with you every day and to get to see such nice messages like this in the Fluency Circle from you. And I believe we also had a 5-star review today. And if you want to leave us a 5-star review, which will help us to help other English learners like you to push their way to fluency, then you can go on iTunes, or if you go to the show notes of this page at realifeglobal.com/betterworld, BETTERWORLD, then we will also show you a video of how you can do that.
Okay, so today's 5-star review is from Hanius from Brazil, titled "Very Good." It's very short and to the point, but this person says, "I hope you guys continue to do this great job for a long time." Oh yeah, Hanius, thank you so much for going in there, leaving that review, and thank you all the rest of the people who have been doing this. It really helps us spread the word and get our podcast out there.
Help us spread the dream of fluency. Oh yeah. So let's roll into the kick-ass quote, which is going to definitely kind of set the mood for today's topic. So it comes.
Wait. Set the mood?
Set the mood. That means that it's going to help us to get you in the correct mindset that you need to have for today's conversation. So it comes from Eckhart Tolle, who I would probably say the best way to describe him is an author and a sort of spiritual leader. And he says, "Remember that your perception of the world is a reflection of your state of consciousness." So what does that mean, Justin?
Well, we see the world through our own eyes, through our own perception, right? Your state of mind, your own mood really dictates how you see the world. And so you can control your consciousness. You can control the lens of your own seeing of the world. And through, you know, positive energy or negative energy, and in some sense, you create your own filter for reality.
Most definitely. And as we said in episode 151, which was the first step of the Real Life Way, talking about mindset, you know, the more of a sort of like positive, motivated, passionate mindset that you can create, the more you're going to see that in the world. It's very much like thinking of your brain or your mind as a radio. And, you know, like a radio, sometimes like if it's not tuned right, then you'll just hear static. You'll just hear what sounds like shit, literally. And if you tune it, though, to the right station, then maybe you'll hear like some beautiful music coming out, or you'll get to like some sort of comedy channel. It'll be very funny, or you'll get to some sort of like positive news. So you can think of like that kind of metaphor, that whatever you're going to tune your mind to, you're going to be receiving different sorts of messages. And it's very true that if you're able to change your state of consciousness, then you're going to change your perception of the world. So it's very important what you fill your mind with, what you're taking in. And we're going to talk a lot more about this in the bulk of the podcast, but we're going to roll into a quick lesson that we're taking from, had like a serendipitous moment listening to a podcast, I believe just yesterday. And it's from a podcast from Oprah. If you don't know, Oprah Winfrey is probably one of the most famous successful women in the United States. And she is very, her claim to fame was a show that she had, a TV show, where she interviewed a lot of the most influential, successful, or spiritual people in the world. And she now has a podcast that comes from another show that she does called Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. And so I was listening to this podcast. It's really great. I highly recommend it. And I will post a link in the show notes. Some episodes I would highly recommend if you want to get started would be her interviewing Paulo Coelho from the Brazilian author, or Brené Brown, who we talked about a little bit in when we were talking about the Real Life Way and talking about confidence. So definitely go check those out. But today we are taking a clip from her interview with, I believe the pronunciation is Yanla Van Zandt, who is an American spiritual teacher and life coach. She also had her own series in the United States. And although she is Christian, her teachings you will see are very, very secular, because they can be applied no matter what your religion is. Even if you're atheist, if you don't have believe in any God, then you'll still find a lot of value in the lessons that she teaches. And I believe that if you enjoy the clip we're going to show today, I would highly recommend going and listening to the entire two parts of that episode. In this clip, which is just about a minute and a half, Oprah asks her the question, is the world getting better or worse? And that's something we're going to be discussing later in the podcast. But I really liked the metaphor that she uses. She talks about a growth. It could be like a tumor or a cyst. You might also have something like that that's more benign. So she uses the metaphor of a growth that she had to have, that she actually personally had to have removed when she was younger. And now she has a visible scar from where the doctors like cut this thing off. And she talks about how when they removed it at first, it passes through a phase where it's stitched up. What does it mean when something is stitched up, Justin?
Well, to stitch is to sew. Like you sew your clothes when you have a hole in your clothes, like a shirt, for example, you can fix it by stitching it, right, with a thread and a needle. So a doctor does the same thing on your skin when you have a cut, and this leaves a scar.
Exactly. What's a scar?
A scar is where, I don't even know how to describe this actually, but it's the body heals itself and it leaves a mark on your skin, a permanent mark, right?
Yeah.
And it's not always pretty, but I think there's a kind of a philosophy about being proud of your scars too. Right.
Yeah, they're kind of like, we'll say battle scars, that it's kind of like a reminder of the difficulties that you've gone through and overcome and like survived and kept pushing on. But you can also have kind of more figurative, like emotional scars that you can't see, but it leaves a kind of permanent mark that you carry throughout your life. So you might have to know that with a scar, you can have both the figurative and the literal, like visible scar meaning. And so she basically compares these two things, as you will see when talking about, is the world getting better or worse? So first, we will prepare you with some vocabulary to help you understand the clip better. And then we'll play it and we'll roll into talking about, just Justin and I talking about this question ourselves. So the first word is purpose. What's a purpose, Justin?
A purpose is like kind of your objective or your why, you know, your reason for doing something, your motivation.
Definitely. And to pay attention to something.
You pay attention is to focus, right?
Exactly. And when people come together, I'd say it's like you join forces. And to blossom.
To blossom is to flourish, like a flower blossoms. It flourishes, it matures, and expresses itself.
Yeah, exactly. And this is another term that sometimes we use figurative. And like Justin said, it can kind of mean to come to maturity or to come to fruition. And phenomenal.
Phenomenal is like amazing, incredible, right?
Exactly. The human family.
The human family, I'd say it's just a global community, right?
Exactly. I think it's kind of another nice way to say, like, if you're a global citizen, you're kind of part of the human family. So you see, you're living beyond borders. So you see like everyone in the world as your family, as human beings, and not just maybe people that come from your corner. What's a lunatic?
A lunatic is a crazy person, right?
Exactly. And if something is bleeding, to bleed?
To bleed is when blood comes out of you.
Exactly.
Right?
And in the past, it would be bled. So she'll say it in the past, bled. To ooze?
To ooze is like this, a liquid kind of slowly pouring out of you.
Yeah,
to,
exactly.
To be coming out of you.
Yeah, so if it's something's oozing, it's kind of an unpleasant visual. And just a couple more, poison?
A poison is something that you ingest that is really harmful for you. It will probably kill you, actually.
Yeah, or at least it'll... You could say, like, for example, alcohol is a poison, and if you drink a lot of it, you will have a hangover the next day, which is your body's way of reacting to the poison. And the last one is nastiness.
Nasty is like something that's gross, but I mean, in general, but it can be used as something that's bad or mean or just very unagreeable.
Yeah, exactly. So we will now roll the audio of this clip of Yanla speaking about this.
Everybody has a purpose because everything God does is purposeful, and God is in everybody.
Everybody and everything.
And when we start paying attention, those purposes will all come together and it'll blossom into something phenomenal for the planet. And it's happening. It really is happening.
Do you feel that we're getting better or worse?
Yeah. 60% of the human family is awake. 60%. But here it is.
Is awake.
Yeah. But what the news reports are the sleeping lunatics. Okay? So you see this?
Yeah.
This thing right here is about 40 years old. I had a thing. I don't know what you call it. Let's call it something. Let's call it a growth. And so when they took it out, they had to cut it.
Yeah.
And it bled. Then they took the thing out and they stitched it up. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at it, it was horrible. The stitches, it was oozing. It was very painful. Now look at it. The scar is there, but I don't remember the pain. What we're looking at in the world now is the cut thing with the stitches. Because we know that what we've been doing it the way we're doing it isn't working. So we're looking at the poison is coming out. And that's hurtful. It's painful. It's ugly as the day is long. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But 20 years, 30 years from now, all we'll see is the scar.
Yeah.
The pain will be gone. Mm-hmm. It'll be all cleaned up. That's where we are. We're looking at the oozy nastiness. It's okay.
In the world.
In the world.
Oh, yeah. So I think that response, I hope that because of some of the vocabulary we gave you, it was more understandable. She uses a very descriptive, figurative way of describing this. But, you know, overall, I really like the way that she used this comparison to say how the world is really always improving. And like together, we can make it, all of us that see this light, we can make it a much better place together. So like I said, whether or not you are religious or whether or not you are a Christian, I'm not really religious. I don't think Justin is either. Maybe I think we're both probably more would consider ourselves spiritual. But this podcast with Yanla has like a lot of very interesting lessons in it. So I definitely recommend going and checking that out. And I will post that in the show notes, as I said, at reallifeglobal.com/betterworld. And you'll be able to find a lot of other great stuff from today's episode there as well. So rolling into this question that we could ask ourselves it, so is the world getting better or worse? So I think people see this event like in Barcelona or, you know, Less recently, most people probably know about the similar events that happened in Paris, in Nice, in Belgium, in Germany, and really all over Europe. It's been quite common. In the United States, we experienced a very painful event like this as well in the early 2000s, which most people know about. And obviously, when we see something like this, it's very traumatizing. It's very painful to see that someone actually could have the potential to plan out an event like this to harm so many innocent, defenseless people. And, you know, in no way in this podcast are we saying at all that it is not terrible. But what we wanted to look at more today is, what is the perception that you're getting through the filters that are available to you? And what I mean by this is, you know, if you, for example, were watching the news about what happened in Barcelona on TV, they probably explained to you exactly what happened, and they probably talked a lot about the people who committed it. They talked about how many people died. They talked about how many people were injured. And they kind of talk about all the most violent aspects, the most radical aspects. And, you know, I think that people, when you're viewing something like this from the outside, you need to realize that maybe you're only getting one small part of the story. Because what I wanted to share with you was kind of my experience actually being here, being in the belly of the beast, so to speak. What would that mean,
Justin? Belly of the beast? Okay. Belly of the beast is maybe like in the center of the worst part of it. So maybe, I don't know if it's actually like the eye of the hurricane. That's a similar expression, right? Because a hurricane is like you have a big storm and then you have the calm middle. Mm-hmm. Calm. But belly of the beast, would you say it has a connotation of like chaos?
Definitely. And so, you know, obviously here people, they felt very, very traumatized, as I said, by the event, because no one could have really expected it. I mean, you know, it's in Europe. There's a lot of the cities have been targeted. So maybe no one is really safe, but it's still a shock. You never expect it in your own city. And so, you know, with my friends here, my group of friends, luckily, no one was actually close to where the event happened when it happened, and no one was harmed that I personally know. It was actually a very touristic area. So I believe of the 14 people total that died, only two of them were actually from here, and the rest were all foreigners. But I'm not saying that makes it any better, but it was obviously that they were trying to target a very international group of people to make it more of a international sensation. As I saw this tragic event unravel here, what was really amazing to me was to see that all of the positive things that were happening in spite of, you know, this kind of negative event. And I think that's something that we kind of need to recognize, that if you're on the outside, you're missing all of that. So the first thing I noticed is that a lot of people, like obviously all my friends, we have like our own personal group here that we all talk in, and everyone was sending messages, making sure everyone was okay. But then a lot of people here that are just acquaintances of mine that I barely know sent me messages asking if I was okay. And for me, that was also kind of contagious, because I started just writing everyone that I know here, or also some people I knew that were visiting, to make sure that they were okay. And I think that just seeing kind of this network of people that maybe they don't even know that each other that well, making sure that everyone is okay, was amazing to see. And then furthermore, as I was watching the news, one thing that they actually called on, the hospital that was closest to the event, called on anyone who was willing to come to the hospital to donate blood, because obviously when something like this happens, a lot of people were injured and they needed extra blood. And within 45 minutes, they said, we don't need any more blood. Please, if you want to donate blood, come back tomorrow. So just in 45 minutes, they got all of the blood that they needed for these victims. And from people I talked to from the outside, they did not hear about this. And then furthermore, something I think really wonderful that Facebook is doing is they have the ability that if they know that if you're living or visiting a place, they will ask you to check in and let your friends on Facebook know that you're okay. And then after I did that, I saw that they had the ability on there also that you could volunteer work. You could volunteer to let people stay with you if they were affected by the event. And it was amazing seeing that as well, because people were all sorts of people were saying, like, anything I can do to help, just let me know. A lot of people were saying how many people they could host. Some people were just offering a hot meal. And a lot of places around the events, the hotels, they took in people for free. Basically, what I want to say with all this is that this event is tragic, it's terrible, but then seeing all of the benefit that comes out of it, and very much like Christina said, there's a few very bad, sick people, but look at all the good there is. Look at all these wonderful people that are willing to help strangers, people that they've never met before, simply because there's a certain companionship of you know, recognizing that someone was a victim of this terrible event and wanting to help. And I think that it's obviously, it's very sad that those aren't the kind of things that are being reported. And the last thing I wanted to share, that I also talking to people who were not here in Barcelona, but that was actually shared on the news here, was that the next day there was a gathering in one of the main plazas, which is right by where the event happened. And they did a minute of silence where the King of Spain, the Prime Minister of Spain, and the President of the Catalan government were all there, along with, you know, thousands of people. And after the minute of silence, everyone started yelling in Catalan, "We are not afraid." And I thought that was also very amazing to see. So I think that, again, we need to be very sensitive as to what is our perception of the news and recognize that there still is another part that we're missing. And I think, kind of, as global citizens, asking ourselves the question, what would happen if the media's main focus, instead of just focusing completely on the tragic event, which is important to report that it happened, I'm not saying ignore it, but if after that, if they explained what happened, but then they focused on the positive of everything people were doing to help, all of the people volunteering, all the people donating blood, all of the people cooking fresh meals for strangers.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. It sounds like, you know, Barcelona, similar to like a lot of these other really big events, tragedies, terrorist attacks, it brings out the best in us too. So I think it's important to really remember that, to focus on that, and to help amplify that in the world, because a lot of these times it really brings, again, that human family together and reminds us that, you know, no matter what divides us, what unites us is far greater, right? And so people in Barcelona, they're people, right? People from all around the world. It's like, whatever happens, we are a global family, and it's important to remember that. It's unfortunate that it takes tragedies to really bring that out with us, right?
Most definitely. And again, it's a shame that it's like not something that's focused on more, this kind of this attitude of this tragedy happened, but it's bringing out the best in all these people. All these people are helping each other, especially because seeing it's not just like, I think here it's not just people from Barcelona helping people from Barcelona. It's people from Barcelona helping because, like I said, it was a very touristic area. All the victims were from, you know, Australia, from Italy, from, you know, all over the world, really. And they were actually calling for translators at the hospitals as well. Anyone who was willing to go be an interpreter, because a lot of the people were foreigners and they didn't speak Spanish or Catalan, so they needed, the doctors needed people to interpret. And that was something I was considering doing, but then a friend of mine said that she called and they didn't need anyone else. So it's definitely seeing that people come together, not just because of, you know, to help their fellow citizens of Spain, but to help their fellow citizens of the world who were affected by this disaster. So I think as a global citizen, if you consider yourself a global citizen, you probably do to some extent, if you've been listening to our podcast, then you need to like learn again to kind of have a bigger filter when something like this happens, to question more what you're seeing on the media, and to actually, you know, a lot of people from the outside who know me, they wrote me and they wanted to get more to the bottom of what was happening here from the perspective of the inside. So, you know, if something like this happens, heaven forbid that it would happen again, but, you know, try to get a perspective from the inside, or be willing to reach out to someone that you know that lives there and just share your condolences, because you might think like sending a message is a little thing, but like it touched my heart a lot to know so many people were thinking about me and my well-being when this happened. So It means a lot to people, even if you don't know them that well. Kind of build this perception, as Eckhart Tolle said, of positivity and stuff, so that you'll be tuning your radio into that and you'll be seeing more positivity. And as we shared a lot in episode 155, we were talking all about being a global citizen, that you need to be the change you wish to see. So focusing on that positive and giving back that positive, paying it forward. And
one thing I would add to this is that it's not just, I mean, your perception, it's also how you interact with media, because there are lots of media sources out there and there are lots of ways, and like more skillful and less skillful ways to interact with the media. Like, you could just watch the news all the time. You can watch maybe more pessimistic news channels. You can, I guess, even like Facebook, you have to realize that Facebook, your feed on Facebook, it's kind of, I've heard it's called an outrage machine. Like, Facebook wants engagement. And what does outrage mean, Ethan?
Outrage means kind of like anger, shouting. I think it's, a lot of times it's associated maybe with stuff that's political, that you're in outrage maybe about what the president said.
And that's what drives engagement on Facebook. They want people outraged. And so their algorithm on that feed is to get people riled up. Mm-hmm. Riled up, Ethan?
Riled up. Riled up means that it's basically like you're very excited, but it's kind of a negative emotional excitement about something.
Yeah. And so I have something called the Facebook feed eradicator. And so you can look this up. And this actually, it blocks my feed when I go into Facebook, because I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to get like caught up in my feed. And so anyway, what the filter bubble, this theory talks about is like, so Facebook basically shows you more of what you interact with. You know, so if they show you something and you interact with it, then they show you more of that. And that tends to be negative a lot of times. So what ends up happening is people reinforce their worldview. They sort of get in an echo chamber. What does echo chamber mean, Ethan?
An echo chamber, well, an echo is, for example, if you're in a canyon and you yell, and it's kind of that reverberation of your voice off of the walls. So if you're in an echo chamber, it's like thinking that you're almost in a box where that happens, where you're just hearing something over and over and over again.
And this, people use this in terms of like the media. Maybe you listen to certain podcasts and everybody, you know, interviews each other, and you just hear one perspective all the time. And so you're not really getting an outside perspective or like a variety of perspectives. You're getting one perspective. And so in some sense, Facebook, your feed on Facebook, a lot of times you have to be very skeptical, because you're going to get something that reinforces your own perspective and it makes you feel good. And a lot of times really to have a, maybe it doesn't make you feel good, but at least it engages you. So maybe it might be good to diversify your perspective with new perspectives. And
I would say, first of all, if you're interested in this idea, we talked a lot about this in episode 126. We actually had on Vanessa from English with Vanessa, and we talked a lot about how the Facebook just affected the elections in the United States last year. So we talked a lot more about this topic, but I think you see the same thing too, just with any source of media, that they kind of, there's this echo chamber that they just kind of repeat the same thing. And at least from what I was seeing from people talking to me who do not live in Barcelona, who do not live in Spain, that they are kind of just getting all the negative stuff, all of the negative information, and not being able to see any of the wonderful positive stuff that was happening in reaction to that. So I think maybe we could just start to wrap up this podcast by talking about, you know, like, what is the future? If things are actually getting better overall, if there is a lot more good in the world, what's the actual future of this? I think Justin mentioned when we first started talking about this that like when you look at the environment, for example, that it's getting a lot worse, but there are also a lot of technological advances, or I should say there's a lot of people who have dedicated themselves, who are working tirelessly to look for actual technological solutions to these big global problems.
Yeah, completely. So for example, solar energy is something that is coming onto the scene right now in the global reality. It's becoming very cost effective, and it could solve a lot of our energy problems and also like our environmental problems. You often hear, there's a story about, and I think it was England, you know, at the mid to late 19th century, before the car was invented, their biggest problem, and they were constantly worried about horse shit being piled up everywhere, because with the projections about population growth, that there was just going to be too much horse shit, horse crap, horse poop. Sorry, pardon my French.
What do you mean by pardon my French?
We say that sometimes when we say like a bad word. I don't know why we say French. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's kind of a joke. But so people were really concerned about the future and all the poop piling up. But the car was invented and all the horse poop went away because they stopped using horses for transportation. And so this disruptive new technology completely changed the game. It changed the scenario, and that was no longer a problem. So maybe some of the environmental problems we have today could be solved by disruptive new technologies that completely change the world.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting looking at that, this kind of exponential growth in technology. Justin and I both listened to a podcast, and most of you probably know Netflix, the DVD streaming service Netflix. And the founder of Netflix was actually talking about how for a couple thousand years, right, that people were using horses. And so basically the technological advance was always like having a faster horse, a faster breed of horse, which, you know, is kind of a minor change in how fast you could go, until the car was invented. And all of a sudden it was like this exponential leap just within a few years of how fast people could travel from one place to another place.
Yeah, pretty mind-blowing. That podcast, by the way, the one you're talking about, is called Masters of Scale. It's actually a podcast about business and startups and things like that.
Definitely. And yeah, I think we can kind of wrap up this podcast and just say again that, you know, the reality that you want to have is the reality you create. So be very careful about, you know, what kind of messages you're taking in, what kind of media you're observing. If you have access to English, you are able to access a lot higher level maybe of information. So use that to your advantage. You can also use it to improve your fluency. So as we've said a lot in the last couple podcast episodes, you can be killing two birds with one stone. And do you have any other final things that you would like to say, Justin?
Yeah, well, just as far as like people's perception of the world, I think it's important to recognize the positive aspects of the world. It's like we have never been in a better place in the history of the world. Think about the past 10,000, 50,000 years. Like, it's, we've never been in a better place. Even though the news constantly talks about the negative things, we've never been in a more peaceful world. We're living in a golden age of peace. And I was just Googling some like stats, some numbers, and it really does show like the life expectancy is the highest it's ever been. Violent crime is the lowest it's ever been. War, like we haven't had a world war in quite a long time, and there are less and less wars. Disease, we're healthier. I believe the child mortality rate is like the lowest it's ever been. It's half of what it was, I think, you know, 30 years ago. Poverty is extremely low. I think in 1981, half the world was in poverty, and I believe that number is 22% nowadays. It's still an alarming number, but still, it's getting better and better. Hunger used to be something that was a major problem. It was a major problem on the world stage, but now it's actually obesity, I think, is the biggest problem. Not to say that people aren't starving to death, and that's something we need to really work on as a global community, but it's relatively rare. So when we think about all these problems, we focus on the negative, we think the world's just going to hell in a handbasket.
What does that mean, to go to hell in a handbasket?
This is a common idiom that people use when they're talking about just the... There's another one. I'm going to use another idiom to explain this. Doomsday perspectives, right?
Yeah, that doomsday, that the world is ending. That's doomsday is the end of the world, or the end of the human race, maybe. And yeah, you get certain people that they'll use any sort of event like this, for example, what happened in Barcelona, to support their claim that like Justin said, the world is going to hell in a handbag, or, you know, they'll basically be saying like, oh, they'll look at something positive, like, oh, there hasn't been a war in Europe for almost 75 years, so we must be due for one. You know, they're kind of looking at it more like, if something bad hasn't happened, then it's about to happen. And as I was talking, we shared a clip from the Oprah Winfrey podcast. I highly recommend the episode with Brene Brown, which I can post also in the show notes of this podcast. And I like what she says is that this, a lot of times when things are going really well, we have this feeling that if we preemptively try to think about the worst thing, the worst case scenario, the worst thing that could happen, that we feel like in some way we are protecting ourselves from that thing. But that, like, when you actually look at it, when those bad things happen, they affect you emotionally just as negatively. So what she says to do in these cases, you know, if you're one of those people who an event happens, like here in Barcelona, and you think like, oh no, there's going to be a world war soon, it's all going to end or something like that. What she says is that you need to practice gratitude in those moments, to be grateful for everything that you have, for how positive your life is. And like all these things that Justin was saying, that, you know, things really are better than they've ever been. And you live in this world and you have more opportunities than people have ever had to actually make a change in the world. So take advantage of that, make the world a better place, keep fighting for a better future, and be the change you wish to see.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So I think we can 1, 2, 3. Oh yeah. You guys out of here. And
you at home, you can go with us. Do this with us.
Global
peace.
That's a great idea. Wherever you are, why don't you aw yeah with us? So 1, 2, 3. Aw yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Hey guys, Ethan here. Just before you take off for your day, I wanted to remind you to go to the show notes, which will be at reallifeglobal.com/betterworld, where you will be able to find a bunch of vocabulary from this episode with the definitions. You'll be able to find links to all of the resources that we mentioned. And of course, if you are enjoying our podcast, I highly recommend that you check out our course with Real Life Radio Power Lessons that will help you use 40 of our episodes of this podcast to take your English learning to the next level. So you can learn all about all of that at reallifeglobal.com/betterworld, and also how you can give this podcast a 5-star review if you're enjoying it. So today I'm going to play you out with a song called Alive by Sia, and listen and try to understand, because the message of the song goes really well with everything we've talked about in today's episode, about how even when you go through difficulty, in the end you can overcome it, and that you really are alive. And all of us need to be grateful that we are here today, we're alive, we have the opportunity to make big changes, to be the change that we want to see in the world. So enjoy the song, go out there, kick ass with your English, kick ass in life. See you soon.
Solace in the stranger's face, way in the back of my mind. I saw my life in a stranger's face, and it was mine. I had a one way ticket to bitch, where all the demons go, where the wind don't change and nothing in the ground can ever grow. No hope, just lies, and you're taught to cry in your pillow. I survived. I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Took it out, but I'm still breathing. Took it out, but I'm still breathing. You took it out, but I'm still breathing. Took it out, but I'm still breathing. You took it out, but I'm still breathing. You took it out, but I'm still breathing. Took it out, but I'm still breathing. You took it out, but I'm I'm still breathing. I made it up every single mistake that you could ever possibly make. I took and I took and I took what you gave, but you never noticed that I was in vain. I knew what I wanted, I went on and got it. Did all the things that you said that I wouldn't. I told you that I would never be forgotten.